In 2000, when George W. Bush accepted the GOP presidential nomination in Philadelphia, he related an incident to a rapt audience of convention delegates and television viewers. It was on a visit he had paid as governor in 1998 to a juvenile offender intake facility in Marlin, Texas. He had met and talked with a group of young inmates. All of them, he said, had committed grown-up crimes.
Yet when I looked in their eyes, I realized some of them were still little boys. Toward the end of the conversation, one young man, about 15 years old, raised his hand and asked a haunting question. What do you think of me? He seemed to be asking, like many Americans who struggle, is there hope for me? Do I have a chance? And frankly, do you, a white man in a suit, really care what happens to me? A small voice, but it speaks for so many.
We are all diminished, he said, if that boy believes he is hopeless. Ignoring such problems divides us, erects a wall between the rich and the poor, the educated and the desperate. To much applause, the newly nominated candidate said, we must tear that wall down.
Big government is not the answer. But the alternative bureaucracy is not indifference. It is to put conservative values and conservative ideas into the thick of the fight for justice and opportunity. This is what I mean by compassionate conservatism. And on this ground, we will lead our nation.
The boy in Marlin, Texas, who was about 15 in 1998, is the subject of an article in the May issue of GQ magazine. Robert Draper's article is called The Child Bush Left Behind. Robert Draper, who was that young man, and where is he today?
The young man's name, Robert, was Johnny Demon. I won't give his last name because I feel like the kid, having lived a private life all this time and having been neglected by the system to divulge his complete name is essentially to tread upon him. But he is somewhere in Texas. He lives in a kind of underworld, on the fly, on the run from one lover's house to the next, and in essence has slipped underneath the floorboards of American society.
Young man was in a juvenile offender intake facility when then-Governor George Bush visited with reporters in tow. This was an event that was actually covered in 1998. What was he doing there? Why was he in the juvenile justice system to begin with?
He had been brought into the system, Robert, because he had committed a series of petty thefts. And as a result of this, the Texas Youth Commission received him at their intake unit in Marlin. And at the time, then-Governor Bush was embarking on his reelection campaign. This particular event was really nothing more or nothing less than a photo opportunity. And he was shepherded sort of through the crash gates and showed how the system worked, and ultimately led to a particular dorm where there were 22 boys. Various boys described how they spent their day. And at the end of it, Johnny raised his hand and said, may I ask a question? And when the governor said, sure, you can, he asked him point blank, what do you think about us? And the governor was very much taken aback at what had been set up as a political moment had suddenly become a human moment.
The president, who obviously was personally moved by this encounter at the Marlin juvenile facility, told the story to the Republican National Convention 2 years later. But the story actually of Johnny, which he hadn't kept a pace with, this is not a story of government by applying the appropriate values or redeeming somebody's life. Far from it. It's a horrible story of what happened to this kid. And including he wrote to someone about his having been raped at the juvenile facility to which he was later sent.
No, that's correct. The cruel irony is that shortly after Governor Bush gave his GOP acceptance speech, the Texas Youth Commission thought, since there's going to be some media attention about this kid, we'd better check in on him and see what he's up to. They discovered to their horror that Johnny had failed to check in with his juvenile probation officer. And so an all-points bulletin was essentially set out for him. And he was ultimately found in a bus depot in Dallas, dressed as a female, apparently soliciting male customers. From there, the juvenile juvenile authorities brought him to a youth unit in Gainesville, Texas. Now, Johnny had been there before. And when he'd been there before, he had, according to a letter that he had sent, a close friend of his, a lover, in fact, of his at the time, he said that he had been sexually assaulted at this very place and that he had reported it to the authorities and they were thoroughly unmoved by this. And now he was being moved back to it.
He also later a court awarded legal custody of this young man to his 29-year-old lover, a man who, you write, had been arrested in the past for both possession of cocaine and indecency with a child.
Yes, that's correct. But I think that is an indicator of Johnny's desperation. So desperate was he to get out of this particular juvenile unit where he had been sexually assaulted before that he was willing to take his chances with a man who also had such proclivities. At least he felt that got him closer to the street. And once he got to the street, he believed he could live by his own wiles, which essentially he's been doing ever since.
What do you make of this entire story? I mean, here's this young man who, for a minute, on one night at the Republican National Convention, is an anecdote who becomes part of the national dialogue. And then you follow up on what actually happened to him.
Yes, and I think that, you know, what I make of it more than anything else is the breathtaking chasm that exists between the life that is seen and lived by politicians and the life that's actually lived by certain segments of America. To me, it was striking to learn that Johnny didn't even know that he had been mentioned in the speech, did not know that individuals had lauded that aspect of his speech as the most convincing element of compassionate conservatism. The story, to me, is not meant to be an indictment particularly of Governor Bush or of his campaign. I think that this is endemic to politics, that those of us who write about politics and who make a living off of politics often use humans as devices, but tend to forget that long after the footage has been aired, that these people are still scrapping out their lives and that they are always close to being forgotten.
Robert Draper, thank you very much for talking with us today.
My pleasure, Robert.
Robert Draper is the author of the article, The Child Bush Left Behind. It's in the May issue of GQ magazine.